It's my pleasure to welcome for the first time to Many Rivers Books and Tea poet Jan Corbett. She is going to be reading, as I understand, from this lovely book to my right here, your left, Village Earth. Her second book, her first book having been This Bird Loves Figs. Mm-hmm. She was born in Sonoma County, was raised from the age of two here in Sebastopol, graduated from Annalee High, and returned after college and other adventures, and taught high school here in Sonoma County for decades. So without further ado, it is my great pleasure to encourage you to join me in welcoming Jan Corbett to Many Rivers Books and Tea.
Jim and Rob for hosting these events. I would be at more of your events, but I have a meeting in my house every Thursday night. So you only do this on Thursday nights, these meetings, right?
Pretty much.
You have the Saturday event, though.
Yes, there are.
But lovely events. And before I start, I want to thank my daughter, Karina Corbett, over here in the back row. Stand up. She was my editor for this book. The family affair, this thing here. Now, originally, because I was raised in Sebastopol, as I became a mature adult, I thought, oh my gosh, I was so lucky. What a gift. I was raised in paradise, you know, because I lived in the East Bay, which is a close second. You know, I lived in the Sacramento area for a while. I lived in India and Thailand and, you know, Europe, places in Europe. And I came running back to Sebastopol when I was about 24. And then after I retired, I went, I want to write a book of gratitude for Sebastopol and bring up the memories that I want to eternalize. But as I wrote the book, I was going to call it Sebastopolians and Other Villagers at first, quite a mouthful. I went, oh, the village isn't just Sebastopol. It's anywhere I've lived and I've made connection and known the people of that village. So I'm going to start my reading tonight with a poem by Wendell Berry that speaks to that thing. It's a lovely poem from his collection called Leavings. Wendell Berry. Hope then to belong to your place by your own knowledge of what it is that no other place is, and by your caring for it as you care for no other place. This place that you belong to, though it is not yours, for it was from the beginning and will be to the end. Belong to your place by knowledge of the others who are your neighbors in it. Belong to your place by knowledge of the others who are your neighbors in it. And all of you, thank you for supporting me tonight. You are my neighbors, and you are going to know me a little bit better after this little series of poems. I'm going to read 14 selections from this book that was published by Integral Publishers out of Tucson, Arizona. Small publishing company that has supported my publications, both books. So here we go. The first one. Now, when you hear me address Sebastopolians, realize that all of us are Sebastopolians. You're all sitting here tonight, even though maybe your home is in Santa Rosa or from other places. Sebastopolians, villagers aware of paradise. Some since birth, others by gone and come again, or just plain got here. All love the red and white checkered tablecloth of simplicity, under valley oaks and redwood, eating homegrown greens and backyard treasures on secondhand china or recycled paper. Some call our village North Berkeley, but the village has always had that open mind, swept clean each night by a higher hand that comes off the North Pacific, wraps itself in fog, then pulls all illusions back into nothingness, leaving huts, orchards, vineyards, and villagers warmly cleansed in light. So, that's Sebastopolians and all us villagers. The next one is reflective of my childhood a bit. I was raised on a farm on Dufresne Avenue. If you ever take the bicycle path that goes from the high school out towards Andes, I was raised on that chicken farm with about, I think, six houses. I recently, not recently, but decades ago, I had to sell it because my father passed away. But it was paradise. It was a mixed bag, you know, because farm life has all this turmoil. So this poem is kind of reflective of the mixed bag of what you get when you're raised on a farm. It was very exciting. Called Loco Grass and Other Surprises. Entwined in childhood farm life, deep organic passages. Death of a calf from loco grass. Chickens twisting in hunger and thirst, plagued by Newcastle disease. Heat that suffocated feathered life, winds that ripped aluminum roofs from 2x4s. However, dark times were outweighed by a dawn birth of a pinto colt, magical May cherries, corn popping fresh in elegant wrapped stalks, thick fragrant grasses, bundles of soft mewing furry kittens each spring. We just tumbled through this gift, not seeing its vastness, mouths, hearts, minds wide open. Maybe I'll get me some chickens this spring, and a cherry tree too. I'll weed the local grass first, plant a garden, and open again to the rich feast. It was a lovely childhood. And, periodically, I write a little poetic prose. So this is more poetic prose. It's a description of dawn in Sebastopol. A soft sliding light. A fog tiptoes away, dusting the apple orchards and vineyards with a spray of ocean mist. A mockingbird begins his repertoire. Hawks search for a late return of field mice to nests. Chickens coo themselves into their rhythmic scratch, already beginning the production of this country's age-old product. Resistive young limbs stretch into waking postures as older villagers grind coffee beans, open windows and curtains to their new day, all humming tunes of their youth, gathering their energies for another day in paradise. Off in a neighboring field, a tractor begins its work. Another neighbor mows his lawn before the heat hits the day. And as our orb rises above us, though many turn their faces towards bills and broken things, there is a commonality that drew us together in the beginning, the essence of a village, a land that the Miwok and Pomo Indian cared for, planting, fishing, nurturing the very soil that held their ancestors. What child of this village or any other has not found an arrowhead and felt the connection? This connection is in the very mulch in the soil between our toes as we turn the land for another season. Another season. Mm-hmm. Dawn in Sebastopol. But this one's playful. This is one of my favorites. It's called Changing My Street Name. I live on Washington Avenue in Sebastopol. I lived many years in the East Bay. It's hard to live on a street called Washington Avenue. Changing my street name. No offense, George Washington, but I would like to live under another street name. Daily speaking a richer, livelier lingo as I give directions to my house. Hello. Yes, I live on the corner of Gratitude and Abundance. Yes, just make that turn and I am the fourth house down on the right. 7869 Abundance. Imagine the impact on children. Seeing, reading, writing, repeating names of the beatitudes, values, colors of intelligent, loving life. Kids in grammar school would be reciting their addresses to teachers. I live on 1777 Eternal Love Avenue. I'm on the corner of Power and Balance. Or I live on Namaste in the simple redwood house with huge windows in front. Oh, but the wonderfully discombobulating havoc it would cause the poor postmen and the number of streets that would suddenly be named Joy, Ecstasy, Bliss. What a lovely mess it would be. George Washington would not mind. Maybe we could appease him with Cherry Tree Street. I think it's a good idea, actually. And this one is a little bit more nostalgic. When my father passed, I was in charge of the ranch. I had 15,000 chickens to sell.
Oh.
And as I sold the house, you know, and looked at the barn and the garage where he puttered, and the ranch and all the little fort areas, it was difficult. So this poem comes out of that. And what remains? And what remains is what I smell in the old garage. Even though my father is long gone, a kind of soul sweat that lingers between the old hose and shovels, empty paint cans and metal gadgets. The stuff of my father, ancient, rusted metal fittings with a masculine scent, blended dust and oil, parts to some old John Deere or ancient truck, mouse traps, watering cans, feed scoops, chicken crates, even the clutch knob to the Willie's Jeep retains something of him beyond his DNA. Perhaps it is in seeing the things we are not that we finally are able to see what is of us, of him or her. All those years of tinkering in the old garage, years of trying to answer or fix something as he stood, head bowed in deep silence on those dusty, oil-stained, dirt-packed floors, turning a rusted metal fitting over and over in beautifully worn hands. He wanted so much more, but could not say it. Only tinker with the broken pieces of things, the clang of a dropped metal fitting, a lingering scent is what remains. Thank you, Daddy, for my lovely home and childhood, and Mommy. This one is kind of right out of my Berkeley days. Can't squash the light out of me, it's called. Born in light, rolled up and warmed to the core in it, then spilled into a world of fright, people hammering, stammering in fear of whatever's, people wanting to fit in, be a big thing, just not thinking, hiding the Buddha Jesus light, acting like self-made greedy fools. I retreated, needed tall trees, fast ponies, deep fields to be in that golden light of bliss, tapping, jumping, stretching, dance moves, or singing, rhythmicking and writing. So world, do your thing with winter fright. Dangers can't rearrange me, not even death gonna change me. Yeah, no world of boogeymen gonna squash the Jesus boo the light out of me. Yeah. And this one is the beginning of the expansion to other villages. Other villages. The thing is to let other villages in, to destroy even otherness, to lie in the fields of the earth looking up and know that we are one village, full of error, but under one sky, circling around one sun, being father, son, mother, daughter, sister, brother to each other, no matter village of origin, no matter he or she or who brought whatever being here. Other villages.
Can you read that one again?
Yeah. Okay. Other villages. The thing is to let other villages in, to destroy even otherness, to lie in the fields of the earth looking up and know that we are one village, full of error, but under one sky, circling around one sun, being father, son, mother, daughter, sister, brother to each other, no matter village of origin, no matter he or she who brought whatever being here. One village. This one is a bit of a scolding to humanity. I was a teacher for 30 years, so. So this is called Write a Thousand Times. And I really enjoyed writing this one. It felt very good. I don't think I even had to do a rewrite. Come to the blackboard, humanity, and get a piece of chalk and write 1,000 times in your best cursive, intelligence and silence. Work through your lunch recess until you have written these words 1,000 times, intelligence and silence. I don't care if your hand hurts. So what if you're allergic to chalk dust? We have all had enough of your acting out. Keep your mouth closed, your hands on the chalk, and write in your best cursive, intelligence and silence, 1,000 times. And when done, sit quietly, but not in the corner. Sit in the middle of your killing fields and listen. Send that to some people. And here's one that's one of my favorites. You all know what a burqa is. So you're going to hear that phrase used metaphorically in here. Ours is a strange burqa. That's the name of the poem. Ours is a strange burqa we wear in this land, where the black cloak is the exposure of soft white breasts, to draw men's eyes and ears away from our holy minds and voices, which, if heard, would call for the end of age-old feuds using babes as cannon fodder, and would point instead to young, lean men and women planting warm seed in open fields once strewn with blood and bone. Sisters, shirk these burqas, and cloak thyself instead in the holy mind of God. In the holy mind of God. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that came right out of my mouth. I was in a little collage circle, and I said, "It's a strange burqa we wear in this land." And one of my friends said, "What did you say?" "Oh, there's a poem there." That's how they start. This is, I have a lot of poems in here, but tonight I'm not reading many of them, with a little bit of Spanish in it. My Spanish teacher over there. Thank you, Angeles. But I travel to Jalapa with some of you quite often, and so there's a lot of Jalapa poems in here. So this Spanish has gotten into my poetry. This is called Lo Siento, which means I'm sorry. In English we say, I'm sorry. In Spanish we say, Lo Siento. It means I'm feeling it. Lo siento. So, lo siento for doubting just because the sky was dark. Lo siento for questioning as I buried brothers and sister, father and mother. Lo siento for repeating responses in light to the unawakened. Lo siento for walking on the spring grass without praising the creation on every breath. Lo siento for not awakening with full deep grace and gratitude, for just one more glance at a rising sun, a mockingbird song, a human glance of love. Lo siento for being unawakened, asleep, ungrateful for this gift of paradise in disguise. Lo siento, lo siento, lo siento. Mm-hmm. It is a beautiful word, just gorgeous word. I think our language could use a little bit of poetic grace. This is a lovely little comedic poem called The Greenness of Broccoli. Again, it starts with my favorite phrase, silence and intelligence. Silence and intelligence. There is an intelligent silence that merely looks in wide-eyed wonder at frankly nobuly greenness of broccoli. There is an intelligent silence that merely looks in wide-eyed wonder at frankly knobbly greenness of broccoli, or breathes in yellow glow of peace rose, and silently bows to the big bang never heard, as the creator never seen, magic only felt, silently comprehending, we know not how or why we got here, but as that broccoli, we serve some function in feeding of a grand design, allowing me to surrender my causality, that really never was, to the maker of potato bugs, avocados, peace roses, and green broccoli. It's a hard one to read, my God. Yeah. Okay, we're getting close to the concluding poems. Now, this is my prayer for Sebastopol coming back home. It's called Prayers of the Village Idiot. Guess who that is? Allow old iron rails to heat up once again in summer sun, black tar sweating into cracks of ancient redwood ties as the train runs right down Main Street, Sebastopol. May the blue-striped camp man wave again from the red caboose as children run alongside, daring each other to slap that train. Free the kids once again from chores to run in torn tennies, straddle Schwinn bikes and pet ponies through pasture fences, frolic in backyards and dusty quiet roads, swinging slingshots, paper bag snacks, and visions of remote jungles of adventure. May neighbors gather again, trading radishes for carrots and apples for eggs, comparing secrets of their rich country soil and backyard chickens. And on Halloween, let's allow the children to paint the windows again, preparing for the grand Main Street Halloween parade of goblins and robots and countless black-hooded witches, proud parents lining streets. And finally, may Silva's Grocery and Yarn reappear, kitty corner to our school, offer a safe haven from loneliness and from bullies, tempt us with penny candies, orangeade, Hershey bars, and bright red pomegranates. Only an idiot could pray for such a return. Only an idiot could try to capture this magic which still lingers in this village. I miss the train down Main Street. How many of you actually remember the train down Main Street here in the room? Tom, Susan, and Kathy, and Marty and I. So there's only a few original Sebastopolians here. It was so
and
sweet.
I'm not even one.
No, I'm not one either.
You're not either. Oh my gosh. It was, for a child, it was like magic, you know. I had Disneyland in my home. At Halloween, we literally walked, they closed the streets. We walked down the streets and had a parade. It was so much fun.
So I'm curious about Silva's store.
Oh, this place was a cute little neighborhood grocery store, right kitty corner to Parkside, right next to Irish Park. Mm-hmm. A kind of store where you'd run and go, Joe, there's a big kid teasing me around the corner. And he'd go, where is he? He'd go get him and he'd scold him and he'd be on the phone because he knew where the family lived, you know, and knew the phone number. But he was like, you know, he and his wife just enveloped us, held us, you know, because the Parkside School was right kitty corner. It's gone. There's a fire station there now, I think. Yeah. So this is called Reclaimer. I am reclaiming all that we assumed was gone, reclaiming as here now moments of full-body joy. A jump at peak of noon siren releasing 100 screeching village children into cool, clean water. I reclaim the titwillow's song, remember this, as we inhaled fragrance of dry grasses, scrub oak, eucalyptus. I reclaim each and every magical shortcut gliding downhill through elegant swaying woods, side yards from campfire hut to home, walking through Stedman's backyard to Jesse Street, our shortcut to Parkside School, and galloping through warm apple orchard dust that bordered every artery of our village. I reclaim the slow-moving train running down Main Street, caboose man waving, I reclaim neighborhood baseball diamonds drawn by worn tennis shoes, marked by paper plates, hubcaps, scrap wood, bullpens under scrub oak, old redwood. I reclaim the hungry fingers that grasped sap-ridden trunks, shimmying up to the highest branches to be with the angels. I reclaim as now all that we assumed kids' stuff. Little did we know the train would disappear. That was a sad day. And then the last one is a new one. I don't know why I didn't put it in the book. It fit right in. It's called Villages Allow. Villages allow paths of a village to wind rather than a line in right angles. They circle the knolls and the creeks, the country village homes, until some city planner citifies the village with cold parallel lines changing a street name here, urbanizing an empty field there. A village allows trains to roll down Main Street, allows fruit trees and vines to hover over uneven, unsidewalk paths, allows children to play in the street and for their parents to walk arm in arm to local parks. And so the path of village earth is not straight, but bent by wars, greed, and fear, and a slow, sometimes tedious direction, only now seeing itself as one of perhaps thousands of other habitable villages in the universe. May we learn to allow this winding and eat the wild berries growing beside this path. May we continue to wave to red caboose trains. May we sense the warm blessings of village life and truly become one village, village earth.
Thank you all very much. Supporting me, and now Rob is going to wind up things with another little announcement.
Thank you so much, first of all, on behalf of Many Rivers Books and Tea. That was
thank
lovely
you,
and delightful.
Yeah.
I know that there may be some refreshments over there. I don't know. They look homemade.
They are homemade chocolate chip cookies.
Homemade chocolate chip cookies. And if well, that says it. That says it all right there. I want to thank you all for coming tonight. We have a donation bowl over in the counter, and we encourage you to contribute to it. The donations we split with our speakers to support their work, and also retain half to help support the maintenance of this space so we can continue to have these events on a regular basis as we've been doing now for over a decade. So thank you so much for finding your way to Many Rivers tonight. We look forward to seeing you again at other times, and thank you again, Jan.
Thank you, Rob and Jim.